This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, today the trend in medicine is wherever possible to use minimally invasive techniques to treat problems that would have in the past required more invasive surgical interventions. And this is likewise true of the diseases of the central nervous system, the head, the neck, and the spine. Well, joining us to explain how these efforts are making a real difference in stroke care today is Dr. Hisham Masood, Assistant Professor of Neurology and Neurosurgery and Clinical Assistant Professor of Radiology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Masood. Thanks for coming in. So with all this emphasis more and more on minimally invasive techniques, tell us about your field of expertise. It's called endovascular surgical neuroradiology. What is that, and what does it do, basically?
So that field goes by several different names depending on what discipline you approach it from. And so if you come from a radiology background, you may hear it be called interventional neuroradiology. Neurosurgery can call it endovascular surgical neuroradiology. If you come from a neurology background, which is what I come from, it's called interventional neurology. And essentially what it is catheter-based interventions to treat vascular problems in the spine and the brain.
So when you say catheter-based, you're basically saying that you insert some kind of a long tube into a vessel in the body?
Correct. And what we typically do is we do something called a transfemoral approach, which means that the blood vessel that we go into is a large blood vessel in the groin called the femoral artery. It derives its name from the femur bone that it sits right on top of. And we pass a very thin wire and a catheter. Catheter is just a plastic tube. It has a curve on the end of it that helps us select the arteries of interest. And we use that plastic tube to deliver contrast, which is a clear solution. And that can sort of illuminate the blood vessels using X-ray technology so we know and where we're going and diagnosing illnesses.
So the bottom line is that what you're doing is you're putting these little tubes in through a large artery and then finding the problem area, so to speak, but you're doing it at the same time as taking pictures of it through some kind of imaging technology.
Correct, and it's X-ray technology. And the contrast we use has iodine, and so it blocks the X-rays, and we're able to see the contrast as it fills the arteries and then out through the veins, and
so
it allows us to get really nice pictures.
Is it done largely for diagnosis, or is it also utilized for treatment?
A big part of what we do is for the diagnosis. And then more recently, this technology has now allowed us to do minimally invasive therapies. And so for the vascular piece, we can treat things like a connection between an artery and a vein that shouldn't be there. That may be called a fistula, could be called an arteriovenous malformation. These things sometimes can be found incidentally, or you may present with a bleed in the brain, and then the first thing that we worry about when you have a bleed in the brain is there a problem with the pipes that are feeding the brain? And that's where the diagnosis comes in with an angiogram, which is basically mapping out the blood vessels of the brain, and then a treatment if we deem it appropriate.
So type of treatments that you will utilize using this catheter would be some kind of a liquid?
Several different things. So if it's a connection between an artery and a vein, we can use materials to block off that connection. And that we call those embolics. And so that can be things like polyvinyl alcohol, so-called liquid embolic. It can be something like glue. We can use little platinum coils to block off the connection.
So you can actually insert things in there, not
Absolutely.
Just liquids of delivering some kind of a treatment.
Absolutely. We have different kinds of catheters that are compatible for different therapies. We also treat aneurysms with this minimally invasive technology where we fill the aneurysm with coils and that excludes it from the arterial circulation so that you don't re-rupture an aneurysm.
Is that somewhat like is done in cardiology with stents?
Correct. So the technology is essentially the same stuff that is done in the heart, but further up. So the same approach, which is the transfemoral approach, and we can put in stents as well. And we can do angioplasties where we inflate a balloon to widen the artery. And then the most exciting stuff most recently, I'm sure some of the listeners may have heard about, is what we can do for stroke therapy now.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a minute. But tell me again, when you say it depends on how you come to it, what your area of training initially is like. So are there different subspecialties that we're talking about, or is it all the same and it's just whether you were initially trained in neurology and then chose to do this kind of subspecialty, or originally in radiology?
Right. So it depends. So the discipline is determined by what your residency was and what your fellowship was to then be able to do this subspecialty. And so you can do it from a neurosurgery residency. You can do it from a radiology residency and then do neuroradiology fellowship training before doing the interventional side. And from a neurologist standpoint, you can come from a neurology residency and then do a vascular neurology fellowship, which is typically dealing with things like stroke. Or you can do a neurocritical care fellowship, which means you do things that have to do with intensive care in the neurology space, and then going on to the interventional side.
So these are fairly, basically, these opportunities have evolved fairly recently as sub, basically subspecialties from any of these earlier disciplines that you mentioned.
Yeah, so the technology of being able to map out the blood vessels, this, you know, the diagnostic part of it, has been around for some time. It was actually pioneered by a neurologist who worked with a neurosurgeon, and they kind of came together and did that, and they used to do a direct stick in the carotid artery in the neck, and then a Swedish physician came about and found a safer way to do that through an artery in the groin. Now, historically, it's been mostly radiologists that have been doing this, and then as the field has evolved, neurosurgeons and neurologists are also able to perform these procedures.
And as you mentioned, there's a wide variety of things that you can treat that otherwise might have required surgery, open procedures.
Correct.
And
correct.
Obviously with all the potential problems that occur correct. With that kind of open procedure.
And there's good data also to suggest that the minimally invasive approach improves outcomes as well.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with interventional neuroradiologist Dr. Hisham Masood, or whatever the term is we'll get to. And we're talking about minimally invasive treatments for the head and neck, and specifically I want to get to stroke. So as we started talking initially, I said that a lot of these techniques are very useful in the field of stroke, and you've been alluding to the fact that you've been particularly interested in stroke. Tell us about how the techniques that you've outlined work for stroke and why you would use them and when.
Strokes can present as a result of several different things, and this therapy is most useful in strokes that are as a result of large clots. And so these large clots can shoot up into the arterial system and block off a major artery and cause a large, large stroke. And there is a medication that we've used called TPA that's pretty good in sort of breaking down these clots, but they don't work all that well. And so having a therapy now where you can retrieve these clots and you know, restore blood flow to the territory that was at danger for dying is very exciting, and that comes through the interventional space.
So bottom line is that now you are able, through these techniques, to basically go in. At one time they were just giving clot buster drugs, mm-hmm. and those, you said, mostly can work, but there's a timing issue and they don't always work as effectively. Mm-hmm. Now you can literally go in with this technology and use that catheter to deliver some kind of a pincer, some way to retrieve the stroke?
Correct. We can do a couple of different things. And it sort of evolved with a pivotal trial that one of my teachers was the principal investigator for, Dr. Anthony J. Furlan. It's called the PROACT 2 trial, where they took a tiny little plastic tube and went up to where the clot was, and they delivered a medication that had a pretty good efficacy in breaking down the clot. And that was the beginning. And then they came up with another device that looked like a corkscrew. It's called the Mercy Retrieval Device. And they would deploy that inside the clot and then pull that out. And that was a little bit better. And then they came out with a little bit of a wider bore plastic tube that you would essentially hook up to something like a vacuum cleaner. It would suck out the clot.
Wow.
And that was pretty good. And then the most exciting thing that's come out recently is these stents. And they're called stent retrievers because it's a stent that you deploy, but then you can actually pull out. And it was technology that was originally developed for aneurysm treatment. Sometimes if you have an aneurysm that has a wide neck, you'll put some coils in there and the coils could come out. So you drop a stent or a scaffolding to keep those coils in place. But one physician, I believe it was in Spain, tried it out in a stroke case and found that they were able to achieve a pretty good recanalization. And so that sparked some trials.
And recanalization, for our listeners?
That means reopening of a blood vessel that was stopped off by a clot. And so we've had a series of trials that have had overwhelming positive results in the ability to revascularize blood vessels that have been occluded.
Now, many times we hear that stroke or brain is time is the kind of jargon
Correct.
That we hear or the motto that we hear. So how important is timing in the use of this type of technology? And also, do you use it initially to do a diagnosis before you then go in, or is it all done at the same time? Tell us about the procedure.
So we have a very good protocol when it comes to patients who are coming in with symptoms that are concerning for a large vessel stroke, is what we
call it. How do you distinguish the two?
So if you present with weakness on one side of your body, language difficulty, typically, those things are called large vessel occlusions because it's a very dramatic presentation.
And change means, in what your prior behavior.
Correct. And it basically means that there is a large territory of the brain that is not functioning. And so the concern is that that may represent a large clot. And when that happens, the first thing that we do is we want to make sure that it is not a bleed, because which can also present in the same way. So you come in, you get a CAT scan, which is a non-invasive imaging modality, and that can demonstrate whether or not there is a bleed. And sometimes it can actually show us the clot. Based on the clinical scenario, we may decide to inject some contrast in the arm, which will then illuminate the blood vessels and show us if there is a blood vessel that's stopped off. And then you can go to the angio suite, which is where we would do the interventional procedure. So patients have to be a candidate for this procedure, but it's a very rapid triage.
So it's done very quickly, and what's been the success in your experience?
So I have been fortunate to see some pretty dramatic things in the last institution that I was at. The one that comes to mind is a 30-year-old gentleman who came in with a very, very large stroke. He was a firefighter in Boston, and he came in within an hour, and we were able to achieve recanalization or opening that blood vessel within 30 minutes, and he was home in 2 days.
With no
residual deficit. So
that's pretty dramatic.
I had another woman who we had her home for Mother's Day, 2 days prior to, and with again no residual deficit. So when it works, it's almost like a Lazarus effect, and
yeah.
It's very, very rewarding to be able to offer that to patients.
It sounds amazing. So basically, you keep alluding. You're new to this community. You're new to this. Basically to Upstate Medical
Yes.
University. Tell us a little bit about where you came from and what moved you to this field? We only have a little bit of time left.
Sure. So, I started my residency in Cleveland in neurology. I was fortunate enough to work with great physicians like Anthony J. Ferlin, who sort of instilled an interest in me in stroke therapy. Just kind of taking care of stroke patients, I decided that I wanted to be able to offer more and give a continuity of care and see patients to give them TPA, take out the clot, see them in clinic afterwards. And that sort of drove me to take a combined fellowship at Boston Medical Center, where I trained with great physicians, Dr. Tan Nguyen, who comes from a neurology background, and Dr. Alexander Norbash, who comes from a radiology background.
Wow.
And it was
a three-year combo.
Combined program. And it was great to be able to work with a multidisciplinary team, which Upstate also has now, which is pretty exciting. In my final year of fellowship, I was also an attending on the stroke service, and then I was recruited to come here.
Well, we're so glad to have you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so very much
for
coming in. My guest has been Dr. Hisham Masood, Assistant Professor of Neurology and Neurosurgery and Clinical Assistant Professor of Radiology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.